Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Lob and Smash podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Wendy Olivares and Lee Vowell.
And I think we're recording. So I'm Lee, and that is Wendy. How are you, Wendy?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, you sound far away for some reason all of a sudden.
Sorry.
Sorry, that was a very Canadian way of saying sorry. But we're not at the Canada Open yet. But we are here to talk tennis, of course, which is, if you didn't know that and you accidentally clicked on play for Lob and Smash, you can also read our stuff at lobandsmash.com. But this is a tennis podcast for the most part. I don't think we've gone off the rails yet. But the Miami Open is underway already as we speak. Let's just go ahead and knock this out of the way, because I hate shows that go into like, and this is my prediction because of ball, and then the first next round they lose. But I mean, to me, it's you know, Swiatek's gonna win, right? Probably in Miami, as far as on the women's side. Do you have?
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I think Coco Gauff can win.
You know, Taylor Townsend could keep. No, we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, Coco Gauff could. You know, the thing that I've watched, for some reason, a lot of Coco lately. I don't know why. It's just like she's been on when usually when I'm working, I have the tennis channel or something on in the background. So I'm constantly, because something about the ball hitting calms me, whatever. And it's just fantastic. And sometimes I'll turn around, but she's been on a lot of times when I've been working. I think she's playing earlier matches, but her serve is atrocious right now. I mean, some of these matches, I don't know, it's because she's playing lesser players and she still has, you know, she has the athletic ability to outperform people, other players. And she has, you know, a forehand that overpowers some people, but her serve is just god awful. I mean, I think she had 11 double faults in her last, and I don't know it's all in her head. There's nothing.
Right.
But you think, you think she'll be able to overcome that?
Come on, it's really hard to win the Sunshine Double. That means you're undefeated in the month of March on two different coasts, two different surfaces. I just think it's, I know how good Iga is, but I just think it's a lot. And if Coco's going to break out of her little quote-unquote slump, Miami would be the place because she loves it, you know, and she has a lot of family around, and the Miami Heat team usually comes down, and heck, Bon Jovi's there and whatever.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
It seems like it's prime for an American to win, and she would be the most likely.
This just in, Coco Gauff and Swiatek lost today in straight set. What about on the men's side?
I think it's going to be Sinner. I think he is kicking himself for the lost opportunities in Indian Wells, and he's far too smart of a player to let it happen twice in the same month.
Yeah, plus the injury was kind of a weird thing that happened in that match. I mean, both both matches at the end were weird for Alcaraz because it was like he just got destroyed in the first set. And then it was just like, oh, okay, let's just restart this whole thing, which is something, you know, great players can do. But I don't know. Yeah, I want to say Sinner. He seems the most logical choice just because he's only lost one title, one tournament this year.
Right.
But still, I don't know. It'll be interesting. We know it's not going to be Djokovic, and we know it's not going to be Nadal. So,
right.
It's a young man's game anyway at this point. I guess Nadal's most recent. He's not even sure he's coming back for the start of the clay court season, I guess, now, based on what he said this week.
Yeah, this is just not going good.
Yeah. And Andy Roddick had an interesting thought on, because my thought process with Nadal, I know we're jumping all around, but hey, it's like a tennis match. We're jumping all around. But I always thought Nadal would play the French Open, of course, and then play the Olympics, because he seems to be, you know, as we've spoken about before, he and Andy Murray love playing the Olympics, and the Olympics are at Roland Garros. But Roddick actually made a point of, like, you know, Nadal chose not to play in 2012. It's not like he's always playing the Olympics, but his other point was, what's the point? Because you don't have the same crowd behind you. You know, it's a different kind of crowd altogether. It's not like, you know, I'm here, I'm the French Open king, and it's the Olympics, so it's a completely different. And I thought that was a good point.
It's true.
Clearly, I think this is Nadal's final, got to be his final year, right? We almost don't want to see him come back if he's in the shape he's in currently, right?
Right, right. I don't want to see him hurt himself more. I don't like to see that.
Yeah, I mean, we want to see people go out on their own instead of fade away. Any baseball
Andy
fans
Murray,
and a lot of pitchers do that.
Speaking of people have been trying to usher out, Andy Murray had a good win yesterday, but Berrettini scared me a little bit. Did you see that?
Yes. Yeah, there's been a couple of issues. I mean, yes. His injury was the heat. Yeah, but go ahead. What were you going
to say? He looked as though he was going to fall over. And then when he did actually get over to his chair, his eyes still looked out of it. I mean, is it the heat? Is it he's been trying to get back? I don't know.
I don't
but there
know
was
specifically
the other
with
person
him.
That,
exactly.
Was that
yeah, it was the
Indian
heat.
Wells where that happened too?
No, it was Miami.
Oh, that was Miami also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just, I mean, I guess it's only March, but I guess it's still super hot in Miami. I don't know what the temperatures have been, but even then they're hotter on the court, obviously. But I mean, it's not like you could hold Miami a different time of the year, though. I mean, holding it in March is like, you can't hold it in July.
Yeah, so, it's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, and everybody seems to love the environment of both Indian Wells and Miami as far as players are concerned. So, I don't know. I mean, you said Jon Bon Jovi was there. I'm sure Billy Joel will make an appearance, he seems to. he lives on a boat in Miami. I have a friend that knows Billy Joel pretty well. Yeah, because I'm old. I'm old like that.
I'm a Berrettini fan. I mean, I like Andy Murray, and I'm happy for Andy Murray, but I do want to see Berrettini get, I mean, he's another one of these guys that got hurt, and I think you tweeted something about Dominic Thiem. Yes, these guys that get these injuries, yeah. It's so discouraging for them because they're working so hard to get back and they just can't.
Yeah, and both Thiem and Berrettini would be, especially Berrettini, would be so good for the sport because he's terrifically good looking, right? And he seems like a very nice guy off the court as well. So it's one of those guys you want to pull for, and he's just a face you want to have, like, hey, here's a tennis player. I know he's Italian, and maybe that doesn't mean anything to American sporting fans. I don't know. I think tennis is a little different. We still want to root for our Americans, just like Netflix focusing so much on the Americans during the Breakpoint series. It's like, that's enough Americans. And I wish there was, like, Taylor Fritz usually does well, right, during these tournaments, things like that. There's just not, Tommy Paul did great at Indian Wells, but they're just not good enough, and they're not going to be good enough. Whereas Berrettini, I think, has the skill to be very good, but he's just always injured, which is sad.
Yes.
You reach 25, you're kind of old at this point. I mean, we used to say that about tennis in the 70s, right? But now with Rune and Sinner and Alcaraz. It's like, I don't know. You got to be even younger than 25 to think, oh, long term, I've got a big reason for success in this sport. And if you're 30, it's like, yeah, might as well just think about retirement at that point. Speaking sad of, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I said that's sad, but true. It does seem that way.
I know. Just think about us. We're like, I don't know. We're too old for seniors.
Okay. Well, we could be their parents, but whatever.
parents is good. Parents is a good word.
Does that bring us to Simona, or are we too soon for her?
No, that's actually what I was about to get into. If you want to go ahead and introduce us to that weird subject.
Okay, she's back. I'm excited.
You don't want her to be back. The way you said it's like she's back.
No, we all know that I'm a Simona fan. So, a disclaimer, I'm in support. I'm glad that she got the wild card at the Miami Open. Did I think she was going to win? Not necessarily, just because of what we talked about. You know, you don't have the match play. Even the mothers that are coming back from maternity leave knew when they were coming back. It's just, you can't come out the gate and just start winning. But I really don't understand Carolyn Wozniacki's opinion. I guess that's what it is. And she's entitled to her opinion, but I don't understand it, especially since she benefited from wild cards too.
Yeah, I don't know how. So there's two things here for me. I didn't hear the question, how it was phrased, I guess, to Wozniacki. I don't know if you did, but I didn't hear how the question was phrased. But however the question was phrased, her answer was, and I'll read this because it's not long, but it says, well, first of all, I've always liked Simona. We've always had a good relationship. I've been outspoken in the past about how I feel about doping and all of that. I think my view on doping is the same. I have always wanted a clean sport, fair for everybody. I think it's definitely still my opinion. Again, this is not directly at Simona, but if someone purposely cheats, if someone, I almost interjected there, I should just let her keep talking in her words. If someone has tested positive for doping, I understand why a tournament wants a big rock star in the tournament and blah, 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 blah. So if you want to come back, and it's been a mistake, I understand. You should still work your way up from the bottom. That's my personal opinion on things. And then the reason I ask about the question, how it was phrased to Wozniacki, is because the question to Halep as a rebuttal to what Wozniacki said was clearly trying to get a response that was an agitated response. Because how Halep was asked about what Wozniacki said was, Wozniacki was here today earlier and said she doesn't believe people out of the game for the reasons you were shouldn't be given wild cards for competition. I wonder what your reaction is. It's almost like Halep didn't know exactly about the situation that happened before, but almost like that was phrased in a way that Wozniacki said, oh, Simona Halep shouldn't blow up. And that's not really what she's saying. I mean, it is, but it isn't. She's just speaking generally. And the question was probably about Halep, but she was wrong about doping. I mean, that wasn't what Halep did. And even Chris Everett, I mean, she's been the supporter of Halep throughout this whole situation. But I think the thing about me as a tennis fan is I love both these ladies, and I don't want to see them not get along. Does that make sense?
Right.
So, but well, yeah.
I think Wozniacki was asked, I don't know the exact context, but how do you feel about Simona's comeback? And I think that's where it started. But anytime she said how much she liked Halep, but then said what she said, you know, she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was saying. Halep was, I believe, had no idea what was said, and I think she handled it really well, so that it did kind of simmer down.
Was there an issue between Halep and Serena Williams?
Well, you know that when this whole thing was going on with Halep during these months, that Serena posted a cryptic tweet about something alluding to the fact that maybe she should have had another Grand Slam, not directly like that, but that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much irony around this whole thing. You could spend like a day on it, because the fact that Serena was at the Miami Open supporting Venus is outstanding. But when she was with Patrick, you know, they were all like gathering. And I was just thinking, Patrick is like the cornerstone of this whole thing. And I don't know. I don't know why he is still so highly respected. Perhaps it was an accident, perhaps all that. But the fact that it took him so long to kind of admit his culpability is, I don't know. I think that's kind of, he let Simona deal with it for like a year before he jumped in and said, oh yeah, I gave it to her.
Yeah, he didn't have her back. I mean, I'm assuming he didn't taint the collagen that she took with banned substance. But yeah, you're right. He should have stepped in immediately and said, I mean, that would have been the right thing to do just as right. a human being, not even as a former coach. The reason I brought up Serena was because I know she and Wozniacki are good friends. So I'm wondering if that plays a part as well.
That's true. That is true. I didn't think about that, but yeah, they are.
I am glad, though, that not a lot. I mean, this is I guess we should have assumed there was going to be some issue somewhere with Simona Halep's return because she was suspended for 9 months for testing positive for a banned substance. And I guess it had to come from somewhere. Somebody was going to make a big deal out of it, and then it was going to become sensationalized. And you wrote an article on it, which was not sensationalized at all. But other sites have kind of, oh, she said this, she said, kind of thing. And it's just like, can we get past that? I'm just glad that there haven't been a lot of issues. I mean, to me, the Taylor Townsend thing is worse because yes. And she should be kicked out of the tournament, and the umpire should be kicked out of the tournament. So for yes. people who don't know what we're talking about, in her first round match, she was up. It was third set, right? She's up 5-4, 30 love. She has a ball. Her opponent hits the ball over her head. It's called a lob. Like people are tennis fans are like, yes, Lee, we know what that is. Okay, just shut up, you idiot. But anyway, the lob goes over her head. So she knows she's running back to where the ball is. She realizes that the ball is going to hit out of bounds, but she's holding her racket up. She's watching the ball the whole time. And then the ball hits her racket enough to where you can see it deflect off the racket. And she doesn't say, oh, the ball hit my racket. And the umpire doesn't do anything about it, even though it seemed clear. And somebody had to see it, right? The ball, not a ball person, but like a lines person should have seen it, would have seen it. I mean, somebody should have done something about it because she went on to win the game, therefore the match. But it would have been 30-15 instead of 40-love, which is a huge difference, obviously. She knew the ball hit her racket. I mean, Andre Agassi, did you ever read Andre Agassi's book, Open?
Yes.
Which was fantastic. Wow. And he talks about this part where, you know, in juniors, at the point where he was playing in juniors, you have to call your own balls. And he was like, I was playing against this one kid where I hit the ball and it clearly landed in within the line. It was closer to the line, but landed in. The kid calls it out because the kid knew he was going to lose. So that kind of peeved Agassi off, right? So the next time the kid hit the ball, it landed right in the middle of the court, and Agassi goes, out, and you have to do it. It's out because the opponent called it. And he knew he was being a jerk. He was jokingly getting back at the guy, but he was, you know, he knew it was what he was doing. And Townsend knows the same thing. The difference is she's playing professional tennis in a tight match that cost her opponent money because she's not moving forward in the tournament. I mean, her opponent may have come back and won. It was a third set, 5-4. Her opponent may have evened up the we don't know what's going to happen if she wins that point. And just, she should be out of the tournament as far as I'm concerned. And so should the chair umpire who upheld the non-call. I guess the rules are if the umpire says it's out or in or whatever, but there's a difference. It hit her racket and she knew it. And she should have said something.
What are the rules, though? Because I'm so confused anymore because we don't really have as many lines, people, because we're going, some tournaments we're going with electronics, some we're not. Even Medvedev, who I love, was talking about how tennis can't make up its mind whether it's in the dark ages or not, because you can't even like ask the umpire, the chair, to rewind something because you want to see it because they can't. But but you can get on any gadget you want and see anything at any time. So I don't, to me, that's something that should have, it was obvious. It wasn't even subject to interpretation like some other things are. It was obvious. So I don't know how it continued and commenced.
I don't either. I mean, watching on the replay, I read about it before I saw the replay. So I was thinking, probably just brushed it. I mean, if you have a racket in your hand and if you're not swinging it specifically and the ball hits the racket, you knew it. You know it hit the racket, even if it barely touched the racket. This didn't barely touch the racket. I mean, it changed course of direction.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess the umpire has the ability to review something, right? It's up to the umpire to do it. The player, I guess the other player can't. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are. It's a good question. Because can the other, if it's a point or if it's on the line, it's like some you can review it. Medvedev was probably partly saying that because it's like my buddy Rublev said something and then he got, you know, kicked out of the tournament eventually.
Right. That was part of it.
Oh, gotcha.
That was part of his conversation. He's like, oh, by the way, Rublev was right. But, you know. Yeah.
But if I'm Townsend's opponent, I'm probably asking for a supervisor, which would have been her right, should have been her right, I would assume. You can ask for a supervisor at any point. But I mean, that's a huge. Now, if it was the second Townsend was 6-1, 5-2, it's like, okay. But in this situation, it's completely different. That could have changed the course of the match.
Well,
and she cheated.
I don't know if her opponent would have had as clear a view of it as the chair umpire.
But the opponent was the one that was complaining about it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So, yes, I don't know. What a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and we've had too many discussions like this about tennis lately. And as you said, Medvedev's point is we don't know if we're in the dark ages or not. And it should never be a discussion like this. It should be easier at this point, right? I mean, we're growing up watching tennis in the 70s. It's like, okay, anything's possible. Anything could have changed. But now it's with all the technology, there's no reason for any debate.
Right.
But, and, you know, whoever is filming the video I saw, it wasn't Tennis Channel or Tennis TV. It was something else reputable. But whoever was showing it on Twitter clearly was looking right at the right at her racket. So something's filming it and with a great view. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's, and I'm surprised there hasn't been more said about that since yesterday. Because I think that's a big deal too. And it's an American player. I'm shocked that it hasn't been a bigger deal.
I thought the same thing too. An American tournament, an American player against an Italian opponent. I mean, right. I guess it's Italy's not an issue. If it would have been a Russian opponent, maybe, I don't know. But it shouldn't matter. But yeah, I wondered, and I don't know if the cheer umpire was American or not, because that would be worse too. But still, I mean, it was just blatantly missed non-call, or I don't even know if you can call it a non-call. It was just, I mean, I don't know. It there had to even be a sound the way it bounced off the racket.
True. Well, and I guess in our ideal world, we'd like our athletes to be good sportsmen, good, you know, and point that out. But I guess, you know,
there was a lot of nonsense. You're saying that's Taylor Townsend's version of deflating footballs? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
That should be, it won't, because we won't have that oversight probably at the Miami Open, but it should be reviewed. And she clearly let the point go, and she should be disqualified from the tournament as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. And the fact that I don't know what court she was playing on, but they put this tournament right in the middle of the Dolphins Stadium. You know, the technology's around. They use it for football.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, the view that I, or on the tweet that I've seen that has a replay of the ball hitting the racket, it's like you literally could not get a better view of the ball hitting her racket. I mean, if you zoomed in, you could, but you can clearly see what happened. And it's even slowed down, and you see, I don't know. But even if it's not slowed down in that instance, it clearly changes direction. It's
right. I thought that seemed pretty cut and dried, and I only saw it once. So
I also don't know what she's doing with her racket. If you think the ball's going out, why are you holding your racket like that? Like, move the racket out of the way. It didn't, I don't know. Good the whole point. Thing was weird. Reason she hasn't won any titles, I guess. So speaking of the Premier Tour, which we weren't speaking of, but that's my intro to it. I think we talked about this pre-production. I don't think either of us really have a great idea of, we know the concept of it, but we don't have a great idea of how it would actually work. And I think the reason is because there's no actual tour yet. So we don't, I mean, it doesn't matter if we know how the inner workings of the tour would be. The concept is it's basically a tour that would be fewer events, high dollar events for the top 12 players. I don't know if you've seen other stuff, but basically they would be playing events during the year to make a lot of money and earn rankings points, hopefully. But the issue is it hurts and you get more points for winning those kind of events. I think it's some structure. Taylor Fritz is pro tour and Stan Wawrinka is anti tour, is my understanding. And Fritz was talking about how basically it would be a group of Masters 1000s type events that would be part of the Premier Tour. But it hurts the lower ranked players because they can never get up. It's like a serfdom almost. Like, you have a bunch of players who are playing these smaller events, making less money and earning fewer points. It just seems unfair. I don't know what you think about it, but to me, I hate the idea. They just need to fix what they have.
Your interpretation is different than mine. And I've read several things, and maybe I'm jumbling them all together because nothing makes sense. But I thought there was somehow a vehicle in place where it would be like 96 players. Now, they wouldn't be at all the events, but somehow this calendar would be devoted to the top 96 with some Masters, 1000s. The Grand Slams would be in here. There would be suitable rest weeks between some of these events, cutting down some of the events, which is a good idea. But then my question was, well, two questions. One, people pop in and out of the top 100 weekly. So when do you decide that who's changing, who gets in, who doesn't. And second, what happens to these challenger events are these younger players who are trying to earn the points, earn the match play to get themselves to main draws. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I guess that could be, I guess that's, you know, when we were talking about how we don't really know the exact details because there aren't any, I guess it could end up being, well, it shouldn't exist anyways. I agree. There should be really fewer events and more time off between the events, or if they're, or the same amount of events if they want to keep them, but players aren't hurt because of the weird way they do the rankings by taking tournaments off. Cause there's just, it's too hard. Talking about burning players out, which we don't seem to see as much as we used to, but if I'm a tennis player, you know, it's like a dream. But I'm doing this every year and I'm getting year six and seven and I'm still have, I mean, that's, you have no life. It's like you're just touring the world except for 1 month a year, and even then you're probably playing exhibitions. But I think that's what they need to do as far as fixing the current system, ATP and WTA systems, is that they need to have maybe fewer events, or the rankings need to change where you're not affected by not playing in a tournament. But I just, I guess the, I don't understand how it would work either, especially if there's 96 players, because it's, they keep earning points. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Now, I will say that I think that the tours should be merged. I do think that. I think, and I know the WTA was started by the, I know all that history and that's all wonderful, but I do think in the scheme of things, the ATP manages things a little bit better. So putting the WTA, I was trying to be kind, the same umbrella, then maybe you can make less tournaments and have both sets of players there. Like maybe that's a starting point to consolidation.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
That you should be like boxing out the other up and coming players. And it's way beyond my like intelligence how you would work this. But to me, the first step would be to merge the two tours.
Yeah, I agree. I think they should be merged as well. I mean, I understand the history as well, but at this point, you know, we're talking about 50 plus years of these ATP and WTA existing, right? So it's like, I think we're past that. They should just be merged. I mean, and they do that basically with, you know, they come together for the Grand Slams, they come together for the Masters 1000s. It's like, just merge the rest. It's basically, I think it's some of these tournaments, smaller events are probably like, we don't want these ladies here. You know, we want to have these people who bring in the concession. That's the only thing I can think. Is that there's a race or a sexism to it. But I agree that they're, which is a huge shame. But I agree they should be merged. I don't understand why they aren't already. I think the players wouldn't mind. One of the players don't care, right? It's like it's the same events.
Well, maybe that's what Piff will do.
Maybe what?
Maybe that's what Piff will do. You know, the Saudi Arabians, there was a reported deal on the table at Indian Wells to merge the tours, and somebody had to make a decision immediately. I mean, I don't know if that was exaggerated. I'm sure there's some basis to it somewhere.
We're merging the two together. We're having 20 events and they're all in Riyadh. So I don't know. And got all these tennis players moving to Saudi Arabia all of a sudden. Riyadh's the new Monaco or something. I just wish they, to me, it's like, it's so simple just to merge them together. I mean, I know they'd have to work out like the tournaments, but, you know, I mean, some of these players who are playing 100, 250 events on both men's and women's are doing it because you got to earn a living, right? But then it's like, it's just gets to be so, so chaotic. I mean, just, I know tennis players can make a lot of money, and even the ones who aren't, you know, the top 50 look like they're making some decent money, right? But then they're paying coaches, they're paying for flights, it's not like they're part of a union, or you know, they have a salary. I mean, they're what they spend what they make, right? They have to win. I mean, it's just exhausting. And if you're so exhausted, you're going to win fewer matches and therefore have a lower income, and you're still having to pay for You know, airplane flights and hotels and a team. It's just like, I can't. That's why there's so much stress in winning events, right? It's like you're not only paying for yourself, you're paying for everyone else and their family and everything else. It's just insane.
Agreed. And you know, you didn't put in one of the other big cost factors in there.
Cats. Taking care of cats.
Not that, but doctors, you know, the True. Injuries, the medical visits, the surgeries, like, you know, some of these young women like Emma Raducanu, Bianca Andreescu, who we haven't seen, who won one Grand Slam and then have been like riddled with injury. I don't know how exactly they do it. I guess it's endorsements and things. Maybe they're okay because they may won one big one, but there's so many that I imagine are struggling.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, endorsements go, they obviously help, which I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't. But, you know, even those run out. But, yeah, I mean, she's Raducanu who has had, gosh, I don't even know how she's playing at this point. I mean, I know she's a young lady, but still surgeries on both wrists, her ankle. It's just, that's going to take a toll. And you're playing on hard courts. If they played on clay all the time, it'd be one thing. But those hard courts. I don't know how they do it, honestly.
I don't either.
That's why when you get to be 35 and you're still playing at a high level, it's almost incredible. Not because you're still at the level you are, but that you're physically able to do it.
Right. But, because it's hard on the joints. It's hard on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Which does bring back to make less tournaments and help these players preserve their careers.
Yeah, true. And we haven't even gotten into the whole ball issue as far as changing. I guess the ones what they used, was it pin? I think they used pin balls at Indian Wells, and because of the humidity, they were fluffing up a little bit, making them heavier. Yeah. I mean, that's just crazy. You think, you think that, but Miami would be just as more humid actually than Indian Wells, but they're using Dunlop balls, which I guess are not as fluffy and not as heavy. It's just, it does. I mean, if you ask a baseball player, okay, this week you're going to play with this weight and next week you're going to play with that weight, it's going to take a toll. And it should. I mean, tennis players, wrists, shoulders, I mean, it's all about the joints, right? And those break down a lot easier. I guess we should end the show just with, and we're not going to go into details about like what happened and things like that, but Aryna Sabalenka is playing Miami. I at one point I do want to address is, or just bring up, is that I didn't know that, for those listening who don't know, her ex-boyfriend committed suicide, and but she decided to go ahead and play the Miami Open, even though that recently happened. But I didn't know that they had split up, which I think can have a bearing on one's psyche. But just as far as her, she's clearly one of the best players in women's tennis. This almost makes me root for her even more, because I want anybody to emotionally be able to overcome what recently happened and win matches. But, do you expect her, because tennis players have a different way of approaching their sport, right? They stay either highly focused or they're easily distracted. And usually those players don't play very well. We know Sabalenka can stay focused. So what are your expectations for her at Miami? Did they change at all, or are they the same as they were?
I don't know that she's going to play well. And I'm taking away the circumstance that you're talking about. The fact that she's playing Badosa, her good friend, Badosa, another one that has had a mountain of injuries. Yeah. It's like back in the day when Venus and Serena played each other. They didn't play generally high quality matches because of the emotion and their relationship and all of that. So I don't know what to expect with her and Badosa. I'm thinking it could be an ugly looking match. I don't know who wins. I like both of them. I want them both to do well, but I don't know what to think, you know. I get it why she's playing, because probably the routine, the rigor, the discipline helps her grieve and go through her whatever healing she needs. But playing Badosa is a mixed blessing, I think, for her.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. To me, I was thinking of it like that could be. And again, there's a whole lot of stuff we don't know, so we don't want to speculate on that. But to me, I guess generally speaking, it would have been easier to go against someone you're really good friends with? Maybe it's not. Maybe if I played Todd, my friend Todd, after going through something recently, that actually might be more difficult than playing somebody I don't know very well, because then I'm more focused. Yeah, that's an excellent point you bring up. I hadn't thought about that. But I might be more focused if I'm playing against somebody that I don't know or have never played before.
Right.
Whereas with Bedosa, it just brings in an emotional element, no matter if anything had happened recently or not.
Right.
That's an interesting point. I hope it's not and as far as Bedosa herself, I hate to say this because I really like her as a player too. I'm almost surprised when she wins a match at this point, just because she's gone. The same thing with Raducanu, you know, it's just like, I'm just surprised they win when they win, or Andy Murray for that matter. I want them all to do well, but I'm like, they're just not. Yeah. I mean, Bedosa's young enough where she could. Andy Murray's, why he keeps playing, I'm not sure. It's up to him, obviously, if he does. But it's hard to watch him play when you think he's going to lose and you see there's no more of that greatness that he once had. But yeah, I hope Bedosa, they can't end in a tie, obviously, and both move on.
Right.
But it would have been nice if they played each other later in the tournament.
Right. Right.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how Swiatek handled. She just seems very. She and Sabalenka, I don't dislike either, but they seem like completely different people.
Yes, they do.
Sabalenka just seems like a real. And I mean this, nothing against Swiatek, but Sabalenka just seems like somebody you'd hang out with, you know, and Swiatek's somebody you'd work with. Does that make sense?
Right. They just have a different approach and personality. You know, that's what makes the tour great, because there's so many different personalities. But I agree with you. I just don't. Yeah. Like you said, I just wish she wasn't playing Bedosa. She'd be better off being against somebody she either doesn't like as much or doesn't know as well, because it would be more clinical and more just focused.
That actually might be better. She just, I hate this person. I'm really glad this is my first match. It's like, I'm just going to crush the ball is all
right.
I'm going to do.
Right.
So, yeah, that's fair enough. But anyway, that's our podcast. That's our third one. Each one has done a little bit better than the last. So we appreciate anybody who's listening. And you can check all of our stuff at lobandsmash.com. Thanks for listening.
I don't know how you guys live with yourselves.
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.